This morning, I want to talk about on the way to church. On the way to church. And we're going to read a scripture in the book of Acts, chapter 3 and verse 1. And this verse says, "Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer." Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. That's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, these were Jews that had become believers in Yeshua, or the Messiah. They believed Jesus was their Messiah, but they were all Jews. All the early church was Jews. All the disciples were Jewish. Jesus was Jewish. And so these are Jewish believers. They haven't even been given the name Christian yet. That came later. So nobody knows them as Christians. They're just Jewish followers of Yeshua, of Jesus. And they'd spent all their lives worshiping at the temple. That was their church. That's where they went to church. Time of prayer was at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That was the custom. So at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, they did what they'd always done. But now it's different. They're not going to the temple now to celebrate the old ordinances of the law. They're going to the temple now to pray to Jesus, to celebrate Yeshua, to worship Jesus. So this is their church. They met in homes and they met in different places. The Bible says they went from house to house. But this was a place, the temple was a place they could go and they could gather and they could all come together and they could pray. They had to do it discreetly because remember, they're in the temple. That was kind of a hostile situation if you were a follower of Jesus. But that's what was in their hearts. So at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, often the believers would gather together and go to the temple to pray. So they were on their way to church. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much and we thank you for your word today. And I ask you to speak to our hearts. Lord, that you would just speak to us the word that you want us to receive today. And we thank you for your goodness. And we thank you for your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Three things happened on this day that they were on their way to church. And I want to talk about those three things. The first thing that happened to them on their way to church is they were interrupted. That's the first thing. They were interrupted. Let's look at Acts chapter 3, verse 2 and 3, our next verse. It says, "A certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms for those who entered the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms." So they're going into their church, they're going into their temple, and there's this guy at the gate Beautiful. Now the gate Beautiful was a very large gate. It was made of brass. It took 4 men to close the gate, tradition says. It's huge and it was heavy. It was called one of the most beautiful, it was a beautiful, beautiful sight. And it was, the bronze would be so polished, the brass would be so polished that it looked like gold. This is where this man was sitting to beg. You would think this would be a good area to collect money. You would think sitting at the gate Beautiful as people are coming into church, coming into worship, this was a good spot. He's sitting at the gate Beautiful. He'd been there because he was lame from his mother's womb. In the Greek, it means that he would come from his mother's womb with some kind of deformity. His leg was twisted, or his foot was twisted. There was something, and he couldn't walk. He was born that way. Been that way his whole life. So he's sitting there at the gate. "Hey, money. Hey, you got some, hey, over there, you got some money? Want to help out a lame guy? Hey, how about some help? Who can help me out? Who can help out the lame guy? Hey, you, what about you over there?" As they're going through. And people are trying to go to church. They're trying to go to the temple. This is an interruption. "Help me out. Give me some money." You know, we don't like interruptions. I've got some good friends, Richard and Gina Hedrick. Richard and Gina attended church here for several years. And they did this thing a while back. He was telling me about it. Those of you that know Richard, Richard's got really long hair. He wears it in a ponytail most of the time. But when he lets it down, it's pretty wild looking. So Richard can look rough if he wants to. And him and Gina did a thing a while back where they would dress like hobos, and they would dress like people in need, and they looked pretty rough, and they would go lay at the door of the church as people were coming into church. Now, what the people coming into church didn't know, Richard was the guest speaker that morning. But most of the people didn't know that. They didn't know. And so they're laying at the door, and they're going, hey, you got some money, and you help us out, you know, and the people would look at them, and like, and they'd walk by, you know, and they'd like, you know, I can't believe y'all are here. Even some of them told the pastor, you got some people out there we need to do something about. And then everybody gets into church, and the pastor says, you know, we have a guest speaker this morning. And he says, so I want Richard and Gina Hedrick, our guest speakers, to come up. And then they would walk up there on the platform, and everybody went, oh, no. Right? That's called a sting operation. That's a setup. And you've been set up. And then Richard would talk about how we sometimes walk by people in need in our lives. Well, what I want to talk to you about is interruptions, because that's the first thing that happened to them. They were interrupted. We don't like interruptions. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't. I'm going to be real honest this morning. I do not like interruptions. But the Lord's taught me something through this about them. You know what I'm talking about. You're in a hurry. You're on your way to work. You're on your way to wherever, and you run out, and the car won't crank. You're like, you know. That's an interruption. Or you're going somewhere and the traffic's backed up, there's an accident, you're just sitting still in the traffic, and you're like, you know, that's an interruption. The grocery line, the cash register breaks down, they got to run, go get somebody with a key or whatever, you know. These are interruptions, and we don't like them. Somebody calls us and needs to talk, and we're busy with something, and we're interrupted all the time. But I want you to start thinking about interruptions as divine opportunities. I want you to start thinking of interruptions as opportunities that God is making for you through your day. You are ignoring things that God has brought across your path. This person that has interrupted you may not be an accident. That God has brought this interruption across your path for a reason. Peter and John are on their way, probably in a hurry, and there's this guy begging for money, you know, and he's sitting there, and he's an interruption, and you can look at him as an interruption, or you can do what Peter did and look at him as a divine opportunity. Because the Bible says that Peter looked at the man and said, look at us. Look at me. Amen. See, Peter and John had an agenda, but they were interruptible. We need to be interruptible. And you know where they learned how to handle interruptions? They had a good teacher. Where they learned how to handle interruptions was from Jesus. Did you know that all of Jesus' miracles were interruptions? He's at a wedding having a good time, and his mother interrupts him. They've run out of wine. See, none of the miracles that Jesus did were on his calendar that day. He didn't get up that morning and go, hey Siri, what miracles do I have scheduled for today? Oh, my phone heard me. What miracles do I have scheduled today? Let me look at my calendar and see what I have scheduled for today. Let's see, I've got to heal a blind man this morning, and this afternoon I have a crippled man on the schedule. That's not how it happened. All of his miracles were interruptions, interrupted at a wedding. He's at Peter's house doing a teaching, and somebody's tearing a hole through the roof. Amen? How many of you know that's an interruption? Jairus comes and interrupts him and tells him about his dead daughter. And while he's going to take care of that, another woman interrupts him who has an issue of blood. Interrupted and interrupted and interrupted. The centurion interrupts him. He has a servant. The Syrophoenician woman was an interruption. Jesus was resting and sleeping in the boat, and his disciples woke him up. That's an interruption. They woke him up and said, "We're dying here. We're about to drown." And, you know, Jesus just, you know, he had to want to say, "You guys do know who's in this boat, right?" You know, I'm telling you, this boat's not going to sink. But it's an interruption. Bartimaeus was an interruption. He was having dinner at Simon the Pharisee's house, and a woman comes in to wash his feet and interrupted him. But in every one of them, he wasn't irritated. He wasn't bothered. He saw it as a divine opportunity. And I got to tell y'all, that spoke to me. That speaks to me. Because sometimes I see them as interruptions. Come on, somebody say amen. Sometimes I see it as a problem. And I haven't always seen it as a divine opportunity. That sometimes on our way to do the thing that God has called us to do, we might be interrupted. God might put somebody in our path. Because after all, God is an interrupter. God is an interrupter. And we need to learn to be sensitive to the interruptions of the Holy Spirit, being aware of what God might be doing around us. We come to church, we have an agenda. We come to church, we have a plan. We're going to do announcements. We're going to welcome everybody. We're going to shake hands. We're going to dismiss the children. We're going to have an opening song. We're going to have a video to kick everything off. We're going to take up an offering. We're going to have worship. We're going to have a message. We have a plan. We have an agenda. The church, God might interrupt that. God might show up and say, "I've got another plan." God might show up and say, "I'm going to put something in your path. I'm going to put something in your way. I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that." And we need to be open to the interruptions of the Holy Spirit. Amen? I hear pastors, I read a lot. It's like, "Well, we don't do that in churches. Churches don't do that anymore. Churches don't stop and just change direction. Or churches don't stop and suddenly do what God might want to do." That's just not done. We don't want to offend anybody. Folks, I tell you, I'm here if God shows up and he says, "This is my plan. This is my agenda." I'm going to tell you right now, I'm getting out of the way. Let God do what God wants to do. I am open to the interruptions of the Holy Spirit. And the greatest services I've ever been in my life was when God showed up and interrupted what we were doing. When God showed up and said, "Would you just step aside for a minute and let me take over?" Amen? Now, there's nothing wrong with having a plan. There's nothing wrong with being organized. There's nothing wrong with having direction. But when we become so focused on our agendas that we can't see when God is trying to do something different, when his agenda is different than ours, and that's what we need to be open to. My agenda at church, or my agenda during the day, my agenda at work, or my agenda on my day off, God just might show up and interrupt it. And rather than being angry, and rather than being put off, see it as an opportunity. Maybe this person that God's brought across my path today that is irritating me might be someone that God has brought my way that needs to be ministered to. Maybe someone God has brought my way, that person that I come across that has some kind of need in their life. It might be money. It might be something else. But, you know how you do when you're at the traffic light and somebody's standing there wanting money? It's an interruption. You know how we do. We look the other way. Don't make eye contact. If you make eye contact, you have to give them. Don't look. Just keep your head down. But things that God might be bringing my way, that I need to be sensitive, that this might be a moment when maybe this person needs healing. Maybe this person needs Jesus. Maybe this person just needs a kind word. Maybe this person just needs some love. Maybe they just need a little attention. Whatever, God has brought them across my path for a reason. And I need to be sensitive to these interruptions. Amen? Let me read you something C.S. Lewis said about interruptions. I got this quote, and it's really good. C.S. Lewis says, "The great thing, if one can, is to stop regarding all the unpleasant things as interruptions of one's own or real life. The truth is, of course, that what one calls the interruptions are precisely one's real life. The life God is sending you day by day. What one calls real life is a phantom of one's own imagination." So what he says in the quote is, our real life is the interruptions God brings me every day. That's my real life. That's why I was put here. I wasn't put here for my agenda. I wasn't put here for my plan. I wasn't put here for everything that I want. I was put here to serve God. And the interruptions he brings across my path is God's way of saying, this is what I brought for you today. This is what I'm giving you today. And we have been irritated by them. We need to change that. So we need to say, God, make me interruptible. Make me sensitive to the divine appointments that you bring across my path every day. The second thing they were asked, they were interrupted. The second thing is they were asked to give. That always makes us a little uncomfortable. Amen. They were asked to give. Scott, you might want to start doing this when you get up to take the offering. Hey guys, we're fixing to take the offering. You got any alms? You got something for me? You were asked to give. Do you know this is why Jesus was interrupted? You know why Jesus was interrupted all the time? I like this. Is because he had something to give. He had something. And they knew it. They knew he had. What did he have? He had what they needed. He had what they needed. And they knew it. They were drawn to him because he had something. You ever stop and think about that's why people are drawn to you? Have you ever stopped to think about that's why interruptions come your path, across your way? Because you have something. Come on, church. You're children of God. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. You have the life of God in you. You have the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit in you. You have something in you. There's a reason people come to you. There's a reason people are brought in your way and in your path. It's because there's a reason you're asked to give. But you know, when we come to church, we often come like this guy. We come wanting to receive. We sit out there in the congregation going, Lord, I need this and I need that and I got so many, you know, whatever. And here's, we come wanting. But I want you to start thinking about not only being interruptible, but about coming to church to give. And I'm not just talking about money. There's nothing wrong with having a need. Amen? We all have needs. We're needy people. I get that. We pray for needs all the time. We'll pray for needs today. Nothing. I'm not saying you can't come with a need. I've got a need, but I can't say anything about it. We're supposed to. That's not what I'm saying. If you have a need, we're here to pray for you and stand with you because we all get there from time to time. That's life. But sometimes we can come to give. Amen? We don't have to come every Sunday needy. We can come some Sundays because after all, we are the children of God. We can walk in this room sometimes and say, you know what? I'm an overcomer by the blood of Jesus. We can walk in this room and say, I'm washed in the blood and my sins are put behind me. Amen? We can come in this room and say, I'm healed by the blood of Jesus. He has healed me. We can come in this room and say, I belong to God because he bought me with a price. Hallelujah. and we can come ready to give. Do you know there's a reason most churches do worship before they speak? And it's designed to get everybody into a place, because we all come in here beat up from the week. And anybody that's ever done ministry can tell from the beginning of a service to the end of a service. Because at the beginning of a service, everybody's just kind of, you know, and we kind of have to get there. Wouldn't it be great if we walked in and we were there? Amen. Wouldn't it be great if we walked in and said, man, we've come ready to worship today. We've come ready to give. We've come ready, and worship is giving. Amen. So to decide, you know what, I get to church this morning, I'm going to worship God like I've never worshiped. I'm going to surprise everybody. I'm going to go to church to give. And we need to learn to be ready to give. Not just of our money, I'm not talking about that, but giving of ourselves, giving in worship, giving in service, helping out, being a greeter in the front, helping out at the Welcome Center, helping out with classes, helping out with VBS, helping out. That's called giving. Amen? And God's called us all to give. Give back something. How many of you received blessings from this church through the years? This church has blessed your life. Amen? Amen. Amen. But we need to give something back. We need to give back. I can do my part, and I can come ready to give. My last thing, and I want you to see this, because this beggar went from a beggar to a giver. He went from being a beggar to a giver. Because the Bible says people saw him up walking around and they said, wait a minute, aren't you that guy? The Bible says he was jumping and leaping and praising God. Hallelujah. And people looked at him and said, no, can't be. Aren't you that guy that was at the gate? Can't be. He went from, alms, can't walk. What'd you say? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And the Bible says that life came into his legs and the man was leaping and praising God. Hallelujah. Amen. He went from that poor, lame beggar to a man leaping and praising God. And we can do exactly the same thing. There were times when we were beggars. There were times when we were broken. There were times when our lives were messed. There were times when we were lost and needed salvation. But folks, we've been washed in the blood of Jesus. Everything that ever stood against us has been taken away. We've been made more than conquerors through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can come in here today and leap and joy and praise God and say, I'm not a beggar anymore. That's what I used to be. Because today, my last point is, I have something to give. They had something to give. Fixing his eyes on him, Peter said, look at us. And the Bible says he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something. And Peter said, I don't have any money. I want you to look at this. I don't have any money. Silver and gold, I don't have that. But listen to his next line. But such as I have. Such as I have. He didn't say, let me get out and pray for a little while. Let me work it up. Let me get in touch with God. No, he walked in it. See, church, this is what we're not doing. We have to pray through every time we try to. We got to get out of the, we got to get the junk off of us and get the world off of us and get all cleaned up and get our mind on God. I tell you, most of us, if we had to do something for that beggar, we'd have had to pray an hour before we could ever get anything, you know? Peter said, such as I have, I've already got it. I already own it. I possess it. Such as I have, give I thee. And what, then what was it? What was it? What did he have? In the name of Jesus. 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 In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Whew. What did he have? He had the name of Jesus. I don't have any money, but I'll tell you what I do have. I'll tell you what I do have. And you're welcome to it. I'll give you a big dose of it. It's the name of Jesus. This is what I do have. The name of Jesus. Oh, there's power in that name. There's power in that name. Acts chapter 3, verse 16 says, and his name, listen, this is further in that chapter. Peter's telling everybody what healed the man. What healed him? What made the difference? Listen to what Peter said. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith that comes through him has given him the perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Thank you, Jesus. Has made him strong and healed him. That name and faith in that name. That name and faith in that name. His name is our identity. Everything I am is found in Jesus. I'm nothing outside of Jesus. I just tell you that nothing. My whole identity, my whole life, everything is Jesus. That don't mean I don't have outside interests. That don't mean I have, I do. But the core of my life is Jesus. That's my identity. And I'm not ashamed of that. I boldly proclaim it. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. Jesus is my identity. But it's not only our identity, it's our authority. It's our authority. He said, ask anything in my name and it shall be done. When we line ourselves up with the will and purposes of God. Now I'm not talking about, when he says ask anything, he's not talking about your personal wants and desires and wishes. And that's not what he's talking about. He's saying when you line your will up with my will, when you get in line with the purposes of God, you ask it, and it shall be done. And everything is subject. Cancer is subject to that name. Disease is subject to that name. Worry is subject to that name. Poverty is subject to that name. There's power in that name. There's power in that name. On their way to church, they were interrupted. On their way to church, they were asked to give something. And on their way to church, they had something to give. They had something to give. I want us to all stand together this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. There are people in this room that have something to give. And there are others that have needs. And it will always be that way. And that's okay, because that's the way it was in the New Testament. That's the way it was in the book of Acts. When they met together, the Bible says they shared what they had one with another. They shared their food. Those that had shared with those who did not have. There were those that came to give and some that came to receive. That's as it should be. Some of you here this morning have needs in your life. There's a big God in this room right now. There's a big God in this room. I want to ask our prayer team to come up to the front, get ready to receive as we pray for people. And there are people that have something to give. Our prayer team members have something to give. they prepare themselves for coming here and praying for you. We've even told our prayer team members, if you come on a Sunday and you got needs and you feel kind of down or you're going through something, don't worry about coming up here and ministering to people. You need to be receiving. Sometimes we need to receive. Amen? There's Sundays I've sat over here and thought, Lord, I don't feel like preaching today. I needed to receive. Amen? But then there are others that come and they're like, I'm here to give. I'm here to pour into people's lives. We're about to dismiss and go. But before we do that, the Bible says, if there be any sick among you, to pray the prayer of faith. And when I say if there be any sick among you, I'm talking about all the needs. It don't matter, but you have a need. There's a big God that don't mind being interrupted. Amen. And I prayed this week, Lord, change my attitude about interruptions. Change my attitude about interruptions.